Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today. The last week has brought some challenges to many in this local group, but it's also brought several blessings as well. And one of those great blessings is that we're able to gather together as one people. It's kind of interesting in different areas of the country where I've been, when you hear the term brother referred to somebody else, it's usually in reference to a gospel preacher, Brother Neil. And it's kind of limited to that. They don't use it in any other term. But I'm so grateful that this group understands what that term means. I started counting this morning how many times I heard the word brother referred to some of you, to others here. I stopped counting at 20. We share a unique relationship, a relationship that the world cannot claim, and that is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm indeed grateful for that, and that is a blessing that we can focus on today. Thank you for being here. This morning we're going to discuss the topic of developing elders. We've went through a lengthy study on, first off, on the importance of having elders and what are some of the obstacles that a group faces in appointing elders. We went through a lengthy discussion on the qualifications of elders. We've looked at the character and habits. We've looked at the family life of a man that would be appointed to the position of an elder, in hopes that we gain understanding from Scripture, not from feeling, what qualifies a man to fulfill that position. This morning I want to build upon some of those thoughts and look at the idea of developing elders. I want you to stop and think for just a moment as I would ask you to look around, but that might be a little distracting, and if you're like me sitting in the seats, that's not something you feel comfortable doing. But think about this local congregation here, and think about some of the younger men that have a lot of potential to serve as an elder someday. And I want you to ask yourself the question, what are you doing to help that man not only stay qualified, but further qualify? What are you doing as an individual in this local congregation? I want to say, as most of us probably understand and appreciate, when I make this statement, this is not going to be new to you. It's going to be a thought that you've thought about many times since you've become a Christian. You've thought about it probably at hardships that a congregation has felt. You've thought about this statement. And I want us to think about this statement this morning as well. It is critical. It is a critical need amongst God's people for good, qualified men to serve as elders. I want to read that again and help us to understand and appreciate the true intent of that statement. There is a critical need amongst God's people for good, qualified men to serve as leaders. I use the illustration with Danny only because I know that's fresh on many of our minds. And I remember back even a week ago, the critical state that he was in. And I remember the doctor saying, it could go either way. Very critical state. Matter of fact, when you go up and you go to visit with Delman, you look at the titles over top of the door, which leads back to where Danny's at. It says critical care unit. Why is that? It's because he's in need of much attention and much help. I put before us that there is a critical need amongst God's people. And that is for good, qualified men to serve as leaders. I think all of us understand and appreciate when we talk about good, qualified or good elders. You see, there's a big difference between elders and good scriptural elders. Hopefully we understand the difference in those statements. Such leadership, good qualified men, such leadership doesn't happen by accident. It must be something that is developed over time. It's the very idea which was read for us just a moment ago. I smiled as the reading was being read to us. It's so good to see our college students back with us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and in particular, in verse 18, it says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." As this letter is being written and as this chapter in particular is unfolding, there's a great danger of falling away, of being tricked by deceitful words and people that have malicious intents, and some who maybe have good intents but are very wrong when it comes to application and understanding of the Scriptures. And the writer here says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? Why is it so important for us to grow in grace, unmerited favor? And so important for us to grow in knowledge? I'll tell you, without those two things happening in the lives of young men, it will move from a critical state amongst God's people to something that's impossible. And I know none of us want that to be the state of God's church in years to come. So what do? I remember listening to a sermon one time on the idea of developing elders, and the statement was simply this: it takes many years to develop a leader. I agree somewhat with that statement. I will say that it takes as many years as we have to reach that place. And it starts as young as baby Henry. It starts at a young age, teaching them to understand and respect authority. Because without an understanding of authority and who is in charge, men and women will rise up. And as Paul warned young Timothy, will have an itch to be taught the things that they want to be taught instead of the things that should be taught. And so it takes many, many, many years, as many years as we are here on this earth. It's kind of interesting. You look in the book of Ecclesiastes. Oh, well, you begin looking at young Timothy, and as Paul was recognizing the faith that was in him, what did he say? "Which first dwelt in your grandmother and in your mother, and now is in you." You see the progression there? One that would raise a child, to recognize who God is and be in submission to God and respect God. In turn, that individual would teach their child to do the same thing. As we've been talking about faith on Sunday nights for the last 6 weeks, having a faith that is rested and vested in God, because He's vested in us. He sent His Son to die for us, to give us the hope of heaven. And so, if those statements are true, that it takes many years to develop a leader, and understanding in Ecclesiastes that we're to remember our Creator in our day, in the days of our youth, before the difficult days come, if those statements are true, which they are, who's responsible for the development of elders? Whose responsibility is it? I hope someday that I'll have two young men that will serve as elders in God's church. I hope, if God's plan be, that all of them live, that I will have three young girls that will blossom as godly individuals and will be married to men who will serve as elders in God's church. One might say, well, Neil, that's your responsibility to make that happen. And if not careful, that's the mentality that we slip into. It's just that person's responsibility to raise up God-fearing young men and women. But in reality, when we look at scriptures and we think about scriptures, we begin to realize the importance of all of us pulling together. I remember the statement that used to be so prevalent, which I did not understand growing up, and it takes a village to raise a child. I believe that statement is true. Unfortunately, society is becoming corrupt and more corrupt as the days unfold. And if not careful, if we as parents are not teaching our children, if we as local members in a local congregation are not taking our responsibility to teach our children the righteous ways of God, the world will teach them how to live worldly. And that's a fact and reality. And so whose responsibility is it to develop elders? In Acts chapter 6, there's a problem that the Jerusalem church is facing. And at the time of Acts chapter 6, the church there is 5,000 plus members. And there are great struggles that are going on inwardly in this local group of people. And one of the things that was happening, as we'll begin in verse 1, that there were some that were being neglected. And what's interesting to me is they look inside themselves as a local group and they pick certain individuals. There's cross references that would tell us that these are deacons here that are being referenced to. I just want to pull out a point this morning. And that is when we look inside us, as I asked you to do this morning, and you think about men who potentially will qualify to be elders someday, or young women that are demonstrating on a daily basis that they are godly, God-fearing young women, it is our responsibility collectively to nurture and protect those individuals. I want us to read just a couple of verses. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of what? What's it say next in your Bibles? Men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. When we think about appointing elders, who does that? We'll talk about that in a lesson here to come. But I will say, without the approval of a local congregation, there's no way that we can appoint men to these positions. And I'll tell you, just like what we would find in the Jerusalem church, if there were men that did not have good reputation, weren't full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, they wouldn't have been appointed to this position. So whose responsibility is it? Well, we know that they were to seek from among themselves. They were to look inwardly to find 7 men a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. Then do what? Appoint them to take care of this matter. What's a critical need that the church is facing today? Good, qualified, men of good reputation to serve as elders. And it's all of our responsibility to seek these individuals out amongst us. Men with great potential. And do our best to support them. We think about what can we do as a local congregation to support men who demonstrate the qualities of maybe serving as an elder someday. We think about providing the proper environment so that they will desire to serve as elders someday. You know, the idea of a divisive, gossipy, disrespectful group that teaches young men to turn the other way. I started writing a book back when I was in Bloomington entitled, Where Have All the Young Preachers Gone? I got about 3 pages into it and I realized I'm not a writer. I wouldn't even buy my book. Got a lot of thoughts up there, but it just doesn't jive on paper. But where have the young preachers gone? Not a lot of them around anymore, is there? Why is that? Could it be maybe because of how we treat gospel preachers? Could that contribute to it? I know upon talking to one individual that desired, a young man with much ability, much talent, far more than what I possess, even after 12 years of preaching, and his statement was, Neil, I've watched what you had to go through as a gospel preacher. I want no part of it. You think about that for just a second. Apply it to young men who sit in the seats and attend business meetings. What do they see? Because I'll tell you, they're watching. You watch my little boys, how they carry themselves, things that they say. They're watching. They're watching us as a collective body. What do they see in us? Are we providing the type of atmosphere and the type of environment that they would even desire to serve as an elder someday? Or are we a divisive group? Are we fighting amongst ourselves? Do they hear us gossip about one another? Or as I mentioned this morning, do they come in and do they hear one person referring to another person as a brother in Christ and not just saying it, but genuinely meaning it? What does it look like the rest of the week? Not just when we're gathered together on Sunday, but the rest of the week. I know one of the things that impressed me so much the last little while is how many have called and went and visited Danny. It's reassured me of the love that this group has for one another. I don't get to see a whole lot, but I'm very excited about the things that I have been seeing. And I'll tell you, many of young men have been shunned from preaching the gospel or desiring the position of an elder because of how the local congregation interacts with each other. We need to be mindful of it. In Romans chapter 16, let's turn over there for just a second as we talk about this point for just another moment. In Romans chapter 16, there's a couple of verses there. You've heard me say this before. I remember as a young man desiring someday, way down the road, to preach the gospel, leaving a business meeting that carried out into the parking lot, which two men punched each other in the face who were Christians. These were brothers in Christ. Tell you what, as a young man desiring to preach someday, and desiring the position of an elder, just desiring the position of an elder. I'll tell you what, that opened my eyes. Made me think twice about preaching the gospel. Made me think twice about desiring, even having that desire. Forget about the qualifications that we've talked about, but just the desire to lead a local congregation. Then we have this in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have heard, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, there are several thoughts to think about in this verse. First off, I hope none of us are content with being, as it states for us, simple-hearted individuals. It means unlearned, ungrounded. Hopefully, none of us this morning want to remain in that place where we are unlearned, that we can be tossed to and fro by every word or trickery or cunning craftiness of men. Hopefully we do not want to be that kind of person. Well, I'll tell you, if we don't want to be that kind of person, then we need to live by the standards which we find in verse 17. There are people that will live contrary to the doctrine which we have been taught. And there are people that will live contrary to the doctrine to which we have been taught who identify with local congregations. Those individuals will become a hardship for men, as I've already mentioned, young men who might desire to be elders someday. And so what are we to do with men that act in such a fashion? We're to note them. And we're to avoid them. Not have relationships with them, but avoid them. It was kind of interesting upon this thought as well. I think sometimes when we read Scripture, it becomes, very easy for us to understand. But then it becomes into application when we have to look at somebody and determine if that's what they are doing or not. And then it becomes even harder when we determine that that's what it is and we have to turn the other way. It makes it very difficult. But I'll tell you, it's one of the responsibilities that we have as a collective body of people. It's we as a whole. We have a responsibility to develop elders here at Greenwood. In Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 19, it simply and eloquently states this: he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with lips. It's kind of interesting. I've come to appreciate somebody that is quick to talk about another person, no doubt when you are not there, is talking about you. And so we've got to be careful with people like that. We think about a congregation that might have elders today. Unfortunately, that's not us. Hopefully, down the road, that will be us. But we think about groups that have elders. One of the great responsibilities that elders have is to carry themselves in such a way that they will impact the young who will desire to fulfill those qualifications so they too can rise up amongst us and lead local congregations. I'll tell you, one of my great blessings was my work in Bloomington. But one of the sobering reality of the work in Bloomington is 4 years would go by, some of those faces that you once saw were no longer with us. It's one of the hardships in a college town. But one of the great blessings is we as a local group understood that we were helping young men and women mold their minds, and some other local congregation would benefit from their time spent with us in Bloomington. What are you doing here at Greenwood to benefit those who are young in the faith? We need to demonstrate, if you are appointed to a position of an elder here, you need to demonstrate that you are happy and honored to serve as one of God's servants in His kingdom. It can't always be doom and gloom. It can't always be a tough job that's a thankless job that you're constantly discouraged about. I'll tell you, if your family and if young people see that, they won't be drawn to that. It won't happen. See that young men and young women are being taught and trained. This is something that we need to take very seriously as a local congregation. We also need to look at the second point here. As the third point, as an evangelist, I think about my responsibility to the younger generation here and those who have great potential. What's my responsibility to them? Do I have a responsibility? In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, it teaches me as an evangelist in a local congregation that I do have a responsibility. I have a great responsibility when it comes to the idea of the development of future elders. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this: for this reason, Paul talking to young Titus here, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things which are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. If a man is blameless, and he goes on and talks about the qualifications. So what Paul does is not only tell young Titus, there is something lacking in local congregations, and it must be filled, but also goes through, via the Holy Spirit, the mind of God being revealed to men, this is the men you look for. Ones who possess these qualities. Do you think that would take time and effort on Titus's part? Absolutely. Titus was to be fair, even-handed in dealing with elders and men who would desire the position of elders. You know, it's kind of interesting. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we looked at this very briefly in lessons recently here, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I just want to read these verses and look at a quick point here. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and in verse 19 beginning, do not receive an accusation against an elder except by two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may fear. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice. Do nothing with partiality. One of the great responsibilities in a local congregation is the relationship between elders and the local evangelist. And I'll tell you, there's a weight of responsibility that's put on an evangelist. Sometimes a responsibility that seems hard for me myself to bear. An evangelist must teach, develop, and stimulate young men to be concerned and desire the position of an elder. One of the great things that I love hearing and seeing so much is when I have an impact on ones near my age. To be able to see men stand up and do talks and to do things that maybe they have not done before. And they'll come up and they'll say, thank you so much for impacting me in this way. It means the world to me. And no doubt, I know we have men that live their life in such a way that they are an impact to me as well and others. And you have heard that from other men. There's great responsibility when it comes to the evangelist in a local work. I want to end with talking about this point this morning. We'll come back and talk and finish this lesson up next week. What about those who are not qualified to be elders themselves? Maybe there are men amongst us that have encountered divorce. Men who maybe are godly men but have never married. What about those who are contentious in nature? Who want to control things? Want to make sure that no elders are appointed, because if they are, then they'll lose power. What's their responsibility to the development of future elders? I'll tell you what, this is a sobering thought to think about. First off, the negative side of this. Some, as we mentioned in prior lessons, want to hold on to all the power. And they do their very best to disqualify everybody else around them. We think about Proverbs. There's several texts that we can turn to. There's a text in Judges, which I wish we had time to go over and look at, but there are several references in scriptures that would help cement this in our minds. In Proverbs chapter 25, let's just turn there, and I'll just quickly list the other verses for you. If you're taking notes, you can jot these verses down, because it does explain a lot to us. In Proverbs chapter 25, and in verse 28, it says this for us: whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. For us, that might not have great significance to us. Greenwood, do we have walls that surround us, keeping the Southport people from entering in? No. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But without these walls in this day and time, enemies could invade very easily. We just went through a book called Nehemiah, and we understood the importance of the wall. Without wall, there was no security. And what it teaches us is whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that has no walls. We think about the devastation that comes from a self-willed individual. Judges chapter 17, if you're taking notes, in verse 6 indicates a powerful point for us as well. Mark chapter 12 in verse 7 indicates the same principle that we find in Proverbs chapter 25. That's the negative side of it. But what about the positive side of it? What about the positive side of ones who aren't qualified to be elders themselves? Well, I was in Burksville, had a family that attended with us. They weren't in a right marriage. And I'll tell you, it was pretty devastating getting to know them because they were really good people. They'd give you the shirt off their back. Good, honest people wanting to do the right thing. Upon finding out about their marriage, they were torn. They had this tremendous hardship. But you know what? Every service, they were there. They heard the message. They were cut to the heart. They realized there was a great struggle with them, and they weren't sure what they were going to do. But what they were sure of is that their children would be in the presence of God's people, and they would be influenced for good and righteousness. That's an extreme. But we have an opportunity to raise children who will qualify. It's a blessing that those who might not qualify themselves to be elders, that they can experience through their children. I don't really desire to serve as an elder as long as I preach. It's a personal preference, personal choice. And I hope I can preach till I pass from this earth. If that be the case, I hope that I'm around long enough to live through my son's shoes. Those who are not qualified to be elders have a responsibility to their children to teach them the right way and influence for good. And so I want you to think this morning, when we think about developing elders, it's not just Todd's responsibility to make sure that Ryan is going in the right direction, that he is growing as he should. It's not the church up around the college where he's attending to make sure that he is doing the right thing. It is partly theirs, partly Todd's, but we have to take ownership as well. We as a local congregation have to take ownership as well. And I want us to appreciate that. If Greenwood is going to be secure in years to come, all of us must understand our part in the development of young people in this local church. That means we have to watch our attitudes. We have to watch how we carry ourselves. We have to watch how we communicate with one another, or lack of communication with each other. We have to be in tune with ourselves as a local family. Because I'll tell you, when we are a family that's not dysfunctional, but very functional, it's left then for the children to grow and blossom as they should. Because there should be no reason in that atmosphere that any of our young people should not desire to be elders. So challenge yourself this morning. How are you living and the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How are you as an individual excelling in your responsibilities, not only to the Lord, but to those around you? We have a wonderful opportunity to raise God-fearing children. Will you accept that this morning? I want to speak to an aspect of the group that we don't often talk about, and that's those who desire to have children and have not. I think sometimes when I listen to people, they get lost and they're not sure what their place is in the local congregation dealing with young people. I tell you, at least I speak for myself. You are valued and you are needed in my family. Very much so. And although the burden you carry is hard, I can't even begin to imagine the burden that you carry. But I will tell you that I know myself, I need help, and I hope that you'll take that to heart. One thing that discourages us is when we feel like we're of no use to anybody, and that should never be in the family of God. All are useful, and all are needed. And I pray this morning that if you're not a child of God, that you'll realize that. You are needed in His family. God is willing to adopt you in, to welcome you in to His family, if you so choose. But the choice is yours. He desires it. We desire it. But do you? I pray that you will. If you're here and you're a Christian, you've not been living right, there's no more acceptable time to take it to Him than now. Challenge yourself to greater grace and greater depth of knowledge and service to God. And if you'd like us to pray with you because of some of the shortcomings in your life, we will do so humbly, because we know ourselves have been there. Test, examine, and know yourselves. If it can help you in any way to obey the gospel, come forward while we stand, while we sing.